You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
The sun is out and a pretty nice Tuesday as we welcome you in to the gym class here in KGYM. 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City. The KGYM radio stream, your mobile app from KGYM radio and your smart speaker. Scott Unash with you, buttons on the other side of the glass. Mr. Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side coming up in a moment. Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN.com, will join us on the program today. Preview the PGA Championship, which will get started next week, 9 days out at the Ocean Course at Kiawah Island, South Carolina. Rory McIlroy, the winner last time by 8 shots. It was held there. So we'll talk with Bob Herrig about that, the return of fans on the PGA Tour, and a whole lot more. So that'll be coming up on the program today. Marion's got a new nickname, we think. We'll talk about that and get your reaction to it and perhaps a Major League Baseball franchise picking up stakes and moving. We'll get to that as well. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. 319-366-1600. That is also our phone line as well. Same digits. 319-366-1600. As we come your way here on a sunny Tuesday afternoon, as I bring in Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. Hope all is well.
I think it is, for the most part. Turned into a pretty nice day after you don't see the words frost advisory too many times in mid-May, but we have that today, and we're going to have it tomorrow, according to the National Weather Service. So cover those tender plants, Mark, if you have any outside by the porch there.
Some are growing. Others got blown away last August, but we'll take that under advisement.
Yeah, that's our public service announcement to everybody out there today. As we mentioned, good show. Bob Herrig's going to join us coming up in just a little bit. 319-366-1600 as we make our way through the 3 o'clock hour here on KGYM. And, yeah, a few things to get to. We've got baseball coming up this evening. The first of the games this year between the Minnesota Twins and the Chicago White Sox coming up tonight, 6:30 on the Gym OT 107.5 FM, as it will be the Sox and the Twins going at it this evening from the south side of Chicago coming up tonight. I got to see Dylan Cease and Maeda going tonight. Not a bad pitching matchup.
No, in fact, there's some really good matchups in Major League Baseball. You mentioned one, the Twins and Sox, at least for the two of us. I'm fearful because the Twins could be 10 games out in a moment's notice. But the Cubs at Cleveland, that'll be a very interesting series there. The Yankees and Tampa Bay get together. Oakland and Boston get together. Maybe other news on the Athletics. Toronto and Atlanta, St. Louis, Milwaukee, the Angels in Houston. Right across the board, it seems, Scott, that very good matchups in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, very good matchups coming up this evening. And that includes, as we mentioned, the Sox and the Twins coming up. Twins 7 games behind Chicago right now. White Sox a game up on Cleveland in the American League Central at this particular time. And Sox playing good baseball right now, 7-3 in their last 10 games. And Twins are right at the 500 mark in their last 10 games. And, yeah, we'll see what happens tonight. Kenta Maeda and Dylan Cease, the pitching matchup, 6:30 on 107.5 FM. The Gym OT. 319-366-1600. You mentioned the Oakland Athletics, and that is one of the headlines today, Mark. And that is a topic of our poll question. Each day, head to kgymradio.com To answer our poll question is brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement have been serving customers since 2003. And thanks to Steve and everybody down there, they do a tremendous, tremendous job on the south end of the corridor. And we could see, depending on how things go, as far as the Oakland A's and the city of Oakland and the potential new ballpark, how things go there, we could see the A's pull up stakes and move out if the Howard Terminal plan is not approved by the folks in Oakland.
Yeah, and this has been going on for 3 or 4 years, and Major League Baseball is not happy about the progress and is really urging the A's to move out of Oakland if this can't be done. And again, it's been going on for 3 or 4 years. The lease at the Oakland Coliseum, since renamed, I think, last year or the year before, but where the A's play, that lease is up in 2024. But Oakland was prepared to, if it could get that new stadium, move in 2023. But that's clearly not going to happen. And in the meantime, we had another go around. San Jose was rumored to be the next destination of the Oakland A's. And without city approval, the A's are going to have to do something. And this is a franchise that has been around Major League Baseball since the turn of the 20th century, and back to 1901, I think, in various iterations, the Philadelphia, Kansas City, whatnot, and in Oakland since 1968. And this has been a very good franchise for on-the-field production. We know the Reggie Jackson years. The last 10 years, the A's have made the playoffs 6 out of 10 years. And now, granted, it hasn't advanced very far, but and it's leading the AL West right now. The product on the field has been generally pretty good over the years, but it's not going to fly with Major League Baseball the way it's going right now. And you mentioned our poll question at KGYMRadio.com has to do with this subject. What city would be the best fit for an MLB franchise? Four choices: Las Vegas, Portland, Nashville, or Montreal. Go ahead and vote. Give us a text if you'd like, 366-1600. Your option. But go ahead and weigh in if you'd like. And I don't know which of those four cities is a plug and play. I'm not sure any of them are. Maybe Vegas could adapt that football stadium into a baseball arrangement, but that's never healthy.
No.
Nashville has been, that's a pretty popular. I think if you want to stay with Oakland or the A's in the AL West, then you'd look at a Las Vegas or a Portland, maybe, right? Montreal doesn't have Olympic Stadium you can play baseball in.
For I know temporary.
Jerry Park's been gone for a year. I don't know. It'll be interesting.
It will be interesting. Rob Manfred weighing in, saying that the A's and Tampa both need new ballparks. The league and Major League Baseball is not going to consider expansion until those ballparks, until they get the situation rectified. There's been talk of Montreal. There's kind of been a renaissance as far as Brian trying to bring the Expos back, if you will. They will not stand to play in Olympic Stadium, though. That just is not going to be. It may be a stopgap until a new stadium is built, but they are not going to stick around in Olympic Stadium. Charlotte's also going to be a city that's going to be thrown in there as well. Charlotte's the fastest growing city in North America, and right now home of the Chicago White Sox, AAA franchise, very fine ballpark. They got to be thrown in there along with Nashville and Portland and Vegas, I think. I think you're going to see expansion to Major League Baseball sometime in the next 10 years. I think Montreal is going to get one of those. The question is, who's going to be the other? And our team's going to leave Tampa. Our team's going to leave Oakland. If the A's left Oakland, Mark, they would be the third franchise to leave the Bay Area. Of course, the Raiders are now in Las Vegas, as you mentioned. And, of course, the Golden State Warriors are now, they moved from Oakland to San Francisco. They used to play in the arena across the street from the Oakland Coliseum. And you mentioned the A's also, a great tradition, a great history as far as good baseball. The amazing A's, as you mentioned, back in the 70s, with not only when Reggie came up, but with Catfish Hunter and Joe Rudy and Bert Campaneris, Gene Tennis, that terrific group. They were fun with Charlie Finley. Didn't necessarily like Mr. Finley, but who didn't pay them handsomely at the time, which kind of broke up that great team that they had. But the Oakland Coliseum, it has some character to it. I will say that, because it's a different ballpark. You have all that foul ground, but it's old. They haven't put a lot of tender, loving care into it. Probably time for a new ballpark. I'd like to see something with... I will say this. The one problem with all these new stadiums and new ballparks and whatnot is they kind of, especially in basketball and football, they all kind of look alike. There's a little character to Oakland. I'd like to see some of these stadiums have a little character differences between them. But you don't see that much anymore.
Yeah, and near as I can tell, there is not an existing AAA ballpark that is suitable for Major League Baseball. You mentioned Nashville. It plays in a 10,000-seat stadium, First Horizon Park, that was built not too long ago. I think the largest minor league stadium is in Salt Lake City, maybe 15,000. So, again, this is not going to be a plug-and-play situation for any city that inherits or acquires the Oakland Athletics. I don't think. Tell me, maybe there is a place that the Oakland A's could land and you know, just, you know, go ahead and move them and they'd be ready to go. 98-43 on the text sign. The Brooklyn A's has a ring to it.
That's not going to happen.
Matt in Fairfax, go back to Montreal. The Expos would be awesome if they returned.
Expos were so much fun. Great uniforms, great logo, great teams.
Great players.
Great players. Bad fan base in the day.
Andre Dawson, Gary Carter. Go right on down the line.
Warren Cromartie, Tim Wallach, Al Oliver, Tim Raines. Man, they had some good players. They had some good players out there. Yes, Adam on the text line. Vita Blue. I forgot to mention Vita Blue as well among the great Oakland A's. Major League Baseball, I cannot envision them putting a third franchise in the New York metropolitan area. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I just don't see that. So.
No, I don't either. 1527 weighing in on the text line. Oakland doesn't deserve a team. They can thank their wonderful mayor for having no teams now.
Yeah, yeah, part of it. There are many reasons, obviously. Many, many reasons that go into relocation as far as franchises are concerned. You want to keep weighing in? Love to hear from you. 319-366-1600. By the way, I believe the A's are in first place, though.
Yes.
Wherever they're playing, they started off like 0-7, and they're since then like 21-8. The A's are playing good baseball on top of Houston by 2.5 games, Seattle 2.5 games behind as well, as far as the American League's Western Division is concerned. 19 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. A little baseball for you here today as a lot of new series get underway, as we mentioned, coming up this evening. Horsegate Day 2. By the way, Barry Abrams, horse racing thoroughbred expert, will join us coming up on Thursday to preview the Preakness, to talk about what is the latest news as far as And I already forgot my favorite line, Mark. I already forgot my, what was the unit of measure again?
Picograms.
Picograms, thank you. As the picograms turn in the world of thoroughbred racing. The latest, the draw for the Preakness, I believe, was scheduled at the top of last hour at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock Central Time. Do we have a draw buttons? Do we have a draw yet? I'm going to look. We'll find it. If you find a button, the draw for the Preakness, let me know. It was supposed to go off at 3 o'clock. Medina Spirit is going to run, correct, Mark?
That's my understanding as of this minute. Medina, and it is Medina, correctly pronounced if you're keeping score at home. But Medina Spirit will run, as of right now, in the Preakness without trainer Bob Baffert, who has issued yet another statement. He said he has since learned that a skin ointment called Automax may have been the culprit in Medina Spirit ingesting 21 picograms of betamethasone, which is a banned substance, at least to a certain point, at Churchill Downs. He said this treatment was used to treat dermatitis on the horse prior to the days of the Kentucky Derby. And he has since learned that the ointment contains that betamethasone, which is very curious because Baffert had a horse in the Kentucky Oaks, a filly who he was treating with the same ointment, and it got knocked out of the Kentucky Oaks. So, true. Again, one more Baffert statement becomes baffling.
319-366-1600 as we come your way on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Yes, Mr. Baffert started off with the, of course, the famous or infamous urine-tainted hay, went to the cancel culture, and now is blaming it on the antifungal ointment, Automax. How we got all the conditions right there. Stay tuned tomorrow for the fourth of the series of excuses from Bob Baffert. But the horse, as well as, there'll be two horses, as a matter of fact, Concert Tour, also Bob Baffert horse, are going to be, as of now, in the Preakness. Now, they must have a pre-race. I want to make sure I find this and say it correctly here. They will have pre-race drug testing that they will both have to pass and clear, Mark. Usually get that, you know, from athletes. Now you're getting athletes with four legs having to pass pre-race drug tests.
I thought that was normal protocol, and I guess that's my novice knowledge of the situation.
But it might be, but maybe these are double secret probation. Maybe these are double secret probation drug tests.
Could be, yeah.
I don't know. Hey, Barry cannot be on here fast enough for us, right?
No, I'm interested to get his take, and I listened to his podcast, which is available at Barry's Twitter feed. He's got like 80 of them up by now, maybe more. But it's just a 1 minute. Each one's a 1 minute segment. And he was very firm on his take on this situation. And I don't want to get the cart below. No, I don't want to say cart before the horse.
No, that's don't do good. That. Don't do that.
But I don't want to blow Barry's cover on this. So we'll let him explain on Thursday.
Yes, we will. But as of now, the two horses are going to be in the Derby. So there you go. That's the latest that we have as far as the Preakness is concerned. And, yeah, we'll see how it all plays out. And if they pass the drug tests and if they are good to go and cleared and whatnot, and poor, like I said yesterday, poor NBC. I don't think they have any idea what direction they are going to take as far as some of the stories. It's Tuesday of a race on Saturday, and I think they are about as much in the dark as anyone as far as how to cover this horse race is concerned.
Yeah, our friend in John Columbus weighing in on the text line. That's crazy. They should ban Baffert. Those poor horses.
Yeah,
the horses don't know what's being injected in them or what kind of ointments are applied to their rear end because they got a little, dermatitis going on.
They have no idea.
Did you really ban the horse?
Ban the guy.
He and she have no say in the deal.
No, they do not. They do not. We're going to talk to Bob Herrig coming up here in just a couple of minutes. One interesting and one sad piece of news out of the world of football to report. Remember back to, the mid-2000s, somewhere like that, the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors had an unbeaten season, and June Jones was their coach. Back, 2007, right in there, may have been the last year. Quarterback on that team, Heisman Trophy finalist, Colt Brennan, was just terrific that year leading that offense. It's been reported today that Colt Brennan has passed away. That according to the Honolulu Star Advertiser. He was found unconscious a few days ago while a patient in a rehabilitation facility in Honolulu, Newport, California. And cause of death has not been released at this time. But according to June Jones and others, battled many demons, quote-unquote, through the years. I remember those Hawaii teams. Boy, they were a lot of fun to watch. They kind of were you had Boise State, and then you kind of had Hawaii. Hawaii went, played in the Sugar Bowl, I believe, and I think got blitzed pretty good by Georgia. Never made it as far as the National Football League. He was a draft choice by Washington in the 2008 draft. He was signed by Oakland, bounced around in several leagues, but never really materialized as far as pro ball. Was a terrific college quarterback, but sad story right there.
Yeah, you put it very well. Brennan was a lot of fun to watch, and that team was as well. But at age 37, that's far too young, obviously. And if June Jones is talking about so-called demons in his life, and that's very unfortunate. Unfortunately, it's more prevalent than what a lot of people realize. And just a sad situation at age 37.
Yeah. The Bitcoin craze. Kansas City has waived a tight end, Sean Culkin, who wanted his 2021 salary in Bitcoin, Mark. I'm not sure of the reasoning, if that was the reason why he was cut, but he was cut by the Chiefs. He was a former undrafted free agent out of Mizzou, signed a futures contract with Kansas City back in February. He came out with the quote, "I fully believe Bitcoin is the future of finance, and I wanted to prove that I have real skin in the game, not just trying to make a quick buck," unquote. He will convert his entire salary to Bitcoin. Not with the Chiefs, at least.
Huh.
Just throwing that out there.
I have no knowledge of Bitcoin. I just read that was a Dogecoin that is just either fallen off the face of the earth since Elon Musk appeared on Saturday Night Live. I have no knowledge of this cryptocurrency. Perhaps this guy's right. Perhaps he's spot on. How many bitcoins is it going to cost to fill my tank? I'm going to the grocery store in a little bit. How many bitcoin do I need to take with me?
Yeah, you better check that out.
I don't mean to make fun of it because it could be the next thing.
I don't know.
And I'm going to look like a fool, but I don't know if it's interesting, really.
We all could be missing the bus as far as this is concerned. All could be missing it. 319-366-1600 as we come your way here on this Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM as we get ready to talk to Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN.com. Sean from the bus trip, thanks for weighing in. Still talking about potential landing spots for the A's. He mentions Indy's AAA stadium was designed for expansion to Major League Baseball. Yes, Victory Field, been there on several occasions. Fantastic. Best minor league park I've been to. Sorry, Colonels, you're very close. But Victory Field, very, very good. And it can expand. And we'll see. Indianapolis, I think, has to be one of those spots, too. And 2712 says San Antonio A's. We'll see. Maybe the Alamo Dome is big enough.
Great town.
It is. All right, 3:30. We'll take a break, come back. Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN.com, ready to join us to talk about the tour and the PGA Championship when we come back.
You're upgrading your home, planning an incredible master bath and stunning open concept kitchen. But for the backyard deck, something square? Imagination shouldn't end at the back door. Go against the grain for truly inspired outdoor living with TimberTech. Experience design versatility and technological superiority to vastly improve your home improvement. Make your outdoor living space the place to be with TimberTech from Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Score a major payday this May with BetMGM. It's the best time to sign up for the king of sportsbooks because they're giving new customers a shot at an easy $100. Register using code HANSON100, HANSON100, and win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 moneyline wager on the Bulls or Nets. And if either team hits a three, you win, regardless of your bet's outcome. Whether you're raising the stakes on basketball and hockey playoffs or wagering on your favorite baseball team, BetMGM is always ready for action. Enjoy innovative parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use code HANSON100, that's Hanson with an O, to win $100 when you bet $1 on the Bulls or Nets and either team hits a three. New customer offer paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older, Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
If you're worried about your cholesterol, hear how others are taking charge with Garlic Healthy Cholesterol Formula.
My doctor said my cholesterol was borderline, so I've been taking Garlic, and it works.
I take Garlic every day to help maintain healthy cholesterol. No garlic breath.
And Garlic is a world leader in garlic potency, so you know it works.
Take charge of your cholesterol with Garlic Healthy Cholesterol Formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
Having your own home is awesome, but it's also a lot of work. The good news? Finding help for your projects is easier than ever. Introducing Angie, the app that puts all your home care needs at your fingertips. Need a pro to fix that emergency leak? Maybe find someone to build a deck, or even set your seasonal tasks on autopilot. Angie can handle all that and more. Expert pros, hundreds of home projects, clear pricing, and the easiest way to book and pay in seconds. This is Angie, your home for everything home. Download the app today.
3:33, back with you on the Gym Class here at KGYM on this Tuesday. Thank you very much for joining us here today. Appreciate it. As we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here on KGYM, the White Sox and the Twins coming up tonight, 6:30 on 107.5 FM for you, the Gym OT. Before we talk to Bob Herrig, I want to remind you that the Gym has partnered with Fairfax State Savings Bank to bring you KGYM's community MVP. If your organization has a charity or a fundraising event coming up, we want to help you get the word out. Go to kgymradio.com for more information on that. Next week, it's the PGA Championship at the Ocean Course at Kiawah Island, South Carolina. And to preview that and to talk all things PGA Tour, we welcome in Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN.com. Give him a follow on Twitter and always has great and interesting golf stuff that he writes about on the website. Bob, happy May to you.
Yeah, how about that? Here we are. It's already that time of year.
Yeah, and happy crowds returning to the PGA Tour. That was That was pretty neat to see at Wells Fargo in Charlotte over the weekend.
Yep. You know, just by my anecdotal view of it, I've been at the events mostly that have had fans back, the Masters, the Players' Championship, Valspar the week before. And I think Charlotte at Quail Hollow was the most. And there's no number, but I mean, just by the feel of it, you know, you could kind of just tell. You saw the crowds around greens and tee boxes and people spread out around the course. And, you know, it looked like a pretty good number. And, you know, I think it helped Rory, frankly. You know, he likes the energy. And, you know, I, as someone who's been at some of these with no fans, it sure is nice to have them, even though it's not a full house by any means. It's still a pretty good feeling to hear the noise and the hustle and bustle and have a sense of it getting back to where, you know, I think we're headed.
Bob, I know you wrote about this. Bryson DeChambeau, a lot of folks may not know. He was a +2, I think, through 36 holes. Came back and had a very good finish on the weekend. But clue folks into what happened on Friday with Bryson.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. He's caught some grief over this. How does this sort of thing happen? Believe it or not, it happens a little bit more than you think. But when he finished early in the afternoon Friday, he was above the cut line, +2. The cut was kind of hovering around even or one over. And he just didn't think that there was any chance he was going to make it. He was like 90th place, you know, on the leaderboard. That's the top 65 in ties. And so, you know, to get within the top 65, there was going to have to be a bunch of guys who were playing that were going to have to go from, say, even par to two over, one over par to two over, even one under to two over to get him into the tournament. And so he then made the decision to leave. You know, he had he has a private jet deal and summoned that and got to the airport and landed in Dallas at about 5:30 his time, which is 6:30 Eastern time when play was about to wrap up, and came to learn that he had made it. He was in the top 65. He was actually, I believe, tied for 64th. At two over, there was like 77 guys who made the cut at two over. And, you know, the crazy thing was is the lead was -6, I believe. And so he was 8 shots back, which, you know, I think most people look at if you're within 10 after two rounds, you feel like you might have a chance. And so not only was he making the cut, but he wasn't necessarily out of it. And so, obviously, he made the decision he was going to go back, and that required a little bit of some angst to get that all scheduled. And he ended up, you know, getting on the plane at 2:30 in the morning and landing at, I believe he said it was 6:20 Charlotte time, and had an 8:10 tee time. And as you noted, then he went out and had a great weekend. He shot 68-68 despite playing the 18th hole in three over for those 2 days and ended up tied for ninth. So, but, you know, it's crazy that could happen, but it does happen. And, you know, I think there's something to be said for, like, let's just kind of wait around and take it easy. You could have lunch. You know, you could go back to your hotel and get some rest. And then when you see that it isn't going to work out, then you could take off. But he made it hard on himself and still did pretty well.
Yeah, lesson learned by him. Bob Herrick, senior golf writer, ESPN.com, joining us here on a Tuesday edition of the show. From the weekend, not only seeing Rory back in the winner's circle for the first time in a couple years, but the comments that Rory made afterwards, that he, when he first came out after the pandemic, he thought it kind of would be nice to have peace and quiet, as he said, on the golf course. And he quickly realized that was not suited for his game. He needs the crowd to energize him. Crowd's back. Rory wins. Not really, those things are tied together, obviously. And I think more people, obviously, are probably in that same feeling that Rory is.
You know, when he was playing last year, Tiger said the same stuff. I think that energy missing really, there's a difference, right? For getting playing around with nobody around, and then the adrenaline that you might have in a regular tournament round. And I think these guys who are used to having the bodies out there really, really have missed that. And, you know, maybe for a short time it was kind of neat, you know. And there's guys that have probably taken advantage of it, too. I wonder how much different the PGA Championship would have been, and not to take anything away from them, but Colin Morikawa coming down the stretch, you know, with a chance to win last year. If there'd have been the kind of noise that you're used to having, it just adds another element to it. So same at the U.S. Open that Bryson won. I think, and really the Masters in the fall, it was just there's just less pressure, and it's just a little bit too easy almost. And some guys have really enjoyed maybe having less of that, but I think the majority of them really want the noise and the commotion and the, you know, the energy they get from that. And Rory certainly is one. And, you know, obviously there's a lot more to it than that. You know, he had to play well too. And he certainly did in parts of his game, but, he was very honest about it afterward, and it was interesting his take on the whole thing.
Bob, I was looking at some of the projected yardages at the Ocean Course at Kiawah Island, where the PGA Championship will be contested after the Byron Nelson. Very, very long course. We don't know what the winds will do. That course, who does it really favor? And we know Dustin Johnson may be questionable, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure how serious that is, but it sounds like it was bothering me. It's being precautionary. I think that makes some sense. You know, I'm not really sure who the course favors. It's hard to get a grasp on that. I mean, not only has it been 8 years, 9 years, right? Yeah, 9 years.
Nine.
Since the last PGA, but it's being played at a different time of year. And, you know, the scoring was pretty good in 2012. Rory won by 8. It was soft. They had a lot of rain that weekend. I don't remember that it was that windy. I think it has the potential to be far more windy now. And, you know, 10 of those holes border the ocean. You know, it's really kind of got a Lynx feel to it. I don't think it plays like one necessarily, but it's got that feel and that look, and it can cause some trouble. You know, so who does it favor? I mean, I think the guys who hit the ball solid. I'm not necessarily sure that it's a putting contest as much as it is, you know, hitting the ball solidly in the wind. You know, getting it on the greens, minimizing mistakes. Because there's a lot of mistakes out there, as you see. There's a lot of sand. There's a lot of, like, wispy, rough areas, a lot of sandy areas. You know, you can get yourself in some tough spots, especially if the wind blows. So I think it's going to be neat. You know, it's good when they go to a major venue that hasn't been used for a while and that has guys guessing a little bit. I think that's kind of nice. You know, it's going to be the same for the British Open this summer. It hasn't been at Royal St. George's for 10 years. You know, whereas the U.S. Open is a little different. They play a tour event there every year, even though the conditions are completely different. Most of the guys know the course, you know, and so I think it's going to be very interesting to see how they handle it.
Yeah, having had the good fortune to play the Ocean Course about 20 years ago, first of all, I got to visit a lot of the wispy areas. Secondly, I played it on the calmest day that they said they've had in like 6 months, so I didn't get the full effect. But that thing is brutally difficult. And talking, knowing that the wind does blow a little bit more this time of year than it would in August. So I think you're going to see the scores a lot higher than when Rory won back in 12.
It's long, too. I mean, I don't think they'll play it from the stated yardage, but it's like 7,800 yards. That's what they could play it as, you know. And so there's the, you know, it's okay. So let's say they skim some off here and there. It's still going to be, you know, there's going to be some really long holes. And to your point about the wind, I just think that adds a dimension that's worth keeping an eye on. So, and to your point, you know, for the average guy, I've heard many times that golf course is very, very difficult. And if you go back and read about the 1991 Ryder Cup that was played there, there's an interesting story about Mark Calcavecchia, who, I don't mean to pick on him here, certainly, because I'm sure even 30 years later, it still haunts him. But he was five up on Colin Montgomery with five to play. And at the time, Colin Montgomery wasn't Colin Montgomery. Like, people didn't really know him very well. So he's five up with five to play. All he's got to do is tie him on one hole, and he wins the match. And on 17, which is a par three, and the wind was whipping. You could probably find it on YouTube.
It is up there.
Because Monty, you know, had won the previous three holes, he had the honors. And I believe Monty missed. If he didn't hit it in the water, he missed the green badly. And all Cal has to do is just get it on dry land. You know, and it's going to be over. And he couldn't do it. He hit it in the water. And I think he lost the hole with a six and then went lost 18 also. So instead of winning the match, he was tied. And, you know, that thing came down to the final putt. The U.S. won it 14.5 to 13.5. Cal's half point was huge. It could have meant, you know, it could have meant them having a little bit more breathing room. But I think my long-winded point here is that golf course can get under your skin. And you know, I think for those of us who want to see them challenged, it would be really fun if the wind blew.
True.
Bob, I think every PGA championship we ask you about the 20 club professionals who have qualified through that tournament. Omar Uresti winning that tournament. He's experienced on the PGA Tour, but this is a whole different animal for these guys. And is there an interesting name or two among those 20?
You know, it would probably really only be Uresti because he's got experience in playing, tour golf. It is a huge ask for those guys to come out and play in the PGA Championship. It'd be one thing if it were a regular tour event. You know, some of those guys play a lot of section golf. They do compete often. You know, they play in their neighborhoods, in their association pro events. So it's not like they don't play tournament golf. They do. I mean, those guys are the ones who have jobs that allow them to do that. You know, a lot of club pros, they sometimes play less than us. You know, they're so busy. These guys are afforded the opportunity to play. And so they are excellent players. And, you know, I'm one who happens to think it's an incredibly nice perk. There's some negativity always about the club pros. Oh, why do they have that? None of them can compete. Yet, you know, every now and then one or two of them does. And, you know, really it's probably a big achievement just to make the cut. But it's mostly because you're talking about, I mean, this is a hard type of golf for guys who are seasoned at it. You know, to step into a major, you know, it's the same with the U.S. Open with people who qualify for it. You know, it's different if you're qualifying for a tour event where 10 or 12 under wins and there's some birdies to be had. But when you're trying to play in a major, the conditions are the hardest of the hard. That is, you know, and you can imagine just how nervous they must be. So, you know, I don't know anybody beyond Uresti, but, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a name or two that at least has a good day or two on the first 2 days and maybe threatens making the cut. But I think to go beyond that is a pretty big ask.
Been a great year on tour so far. You had, of course, Hideki Matsuyama winning at Augusta, becoming the first Asian male to win a major championship. Jordan Spieth winning at Texas before that. Some great, great stories. And then, of course, Rory last week. Sam Burns, another good story. It's been a very interesting year so far on the PGA Tour, and maybe the best is yet to come still.
Yeah, I think, you know, the interesting thing we've got going right now, there's only two players that have won more than once, and that's DeChambeau and, of all people, Stewart Cink. You know, I mean, we haven't had, you know, like a John Rahm win twice. In fact, I don't think he's won this season, to be honest. You know, Dustin Johnson hasn't won twice. He hasn't, other than the Masters. Remember, the Masters in the fall counts. We've had two, you know, we'll have had two Masters and two U.S. Opens in this season. He hasn't won since. Koepka's won once. Spieth's won once. There's been a lot of different winners. You know, obviously Rory now winning again. It's, you know, Justin Thomas winning the Players. That's his only win. It's just kind of interesting, as you say, how it's unfolded. We've had a lot more parity. We've had some lesser guys win, like a Sam Burns, who won a couple of weeks ago, you know, for his first tour title. And, you know, I'm not sure. I think probably in golf we like to see somebody dominate more. You know, I think we like it when there's a Tiger or a Phil or a Koepka winning a lot. You know, but I do think that there's something to be said for really it being wide open and not ever really knowing.
Hey, Bob, time is kind of short here, but I got to squeeze this one in. The PGA is going to allow rangefinders at the PGA Championship, unless that's been rescinded, that I don't know. But this is something very, very new to professional golf, I think, right?
That's correct. I mean, rangefinders are allowed in the rules of golf, but almost at every level, professional or high-end level, there's a local rule that says you can ban them, and that's what they do. You know, they're not allowed on the PGA Tour, European Tour, LPGA Tour, the Korn Ferry Tour. And the thinking is that at those levels, you have a caddy, and having a good caddy who knows how to get a yardage and all the other yardages is viewed as part of the process of being your best. And rangefinders might take away some of that. Although every caddy I've talked to has said the rangefinder is only going to give us a yardage to the pin, and there's no player who only wants that.
Yeah.
They want to know how far it is to cover the bunker in front of the green. They want to know how far it is to get to the front. They want to know how far it is to the back. And so they, you know, in other words, if the rangefinder tells them it's 150 to the pin, that player might care more about the fact that it's 130 to get to the front, or 135 or something like that. That number might mean more. And you're not going to know that unless the caddy's done his homework and has those numbers. And so it's a little curious why they're doing it. You know, it's really not going to speed up play because they're going to go through those other gyrations anyway. It might help them in a situation where they're 40 yards offline. You know, they're way off into the rough, and now you've got to do some calculations to figure it out. Now, you can at least get a number to the flag. But every good caddy is going to try to have a system where he tries to determine on his own what that is to the front or to the back or whatever. And so, if anything, it maybe will take more time. Listen, I think those things are great for recreational play. You know, they're great for the caddies in practice rounds. That helps them in practice rounds. That helps them when they're plotting the course. But I'm not sure at this level if it's a good thing or not. It's going to be interesting to see how much they're used and to what effect.
I would agree. Hey, Bob, keep up the great work at ESPN. Always a pleasure to talk with you, and enjoy the PGA, and we'll talk again before Torrey.
Hey, that sounds great, guys. Thanks again for having me.
You bet. Bob Herrig, senior golf writer, ESPN.com, joining us here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Back with more after this.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our menu is just as tempting. That's why friends always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. Stop in today with your favorite people. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids. Welcome back home.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Maintain your vehicles and get 11% off everything at Menards. Check out the great selection of Valvoline Motor Oil. It protects against heat, engine deposits, and wear. It also helps maintain fuel efficiency for the life of the oil. Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil is $4.99 a quart after 11% rebate. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through May 15th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Always good to talk golf with Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN.com. If you missed any part of that conversation, we'll have it up for you on our podcast at KGYMRadio.com, Apple, or Spotify. Mark, we have a potential new nickname for Marion High School as of yesterday. The Wolves is the big winner, the latest big winner.
Yeah, the Wolves garnered 57% of the community vote. Far out distancing the Storm, which was at 21%. And curiously, 22% of the respondents voted for no nickname whatsoever. So it's going to be the Wolves with board approval coming in a couple weeks. I know a lot of folks hope this comes to a conclusion to a process that started in October. And we shall see on May 24th.
Mike Manderscheid leading that parade, the athletic director at Marion High School. So there you go. 69-36, the original Red Wolves would have been better. I'm not sure. 71-76 said Marion Etz. No puppet has ever hurt anyone. Go Etz. A couple more on the text line. 7508 referring to the possibility of Oakland and the A's relocating. How about the Arlington Heights A's? And then we can have another team blacked out from our area. very good. And Mark, Bitcoin. A little information from 91.85. One Bitcoin is worth about $60K in normal currency today. 1 year ago, it was only worth $8K. Perhaps that is why young athlete is not going to be paid in Bitcoin. I don't know. I don't know enough about it. But anyway, it's going up, apparently. It's going up.
Right. Can you spend it? I mean, can you walk into a car dealership and give them a Bitcoin?
I have no idea. Buttons? Can you? We stumped him. All right. More on Bitcoins and other fine sports items with Todd and Alex coming your way next year on KGYM. Tomorrow, Chris Liss of rotowire.com stops by. We'll talk fantasy baseball, and yes, we now know where the folks drafted are going as far as their pro football careers are concerned, and if you have a question about that, looking ahead to the fall, I'm sure Chris can field those as well. And the White Sox and the Twins with the Twins Network tonight, 6:30, 107.5 FM on Jim OT, and we'll see Cease and Maeda going at it this evening. We'll talk about that and other things tomorrow. Mark, have a good night.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Scott.
All right. Spend the Gym Class, KGYM.
Hi, this is Joe Cordell with the law firm Cordell & Cordell. When the prospect of divorce becomes a reality, you need a partner that you can count on. If you're a man in this situation, consider